Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back. Another Tuesday. I feel like January is the longest month ever, but I'm enjoying it. Hope everybody's on a mission. Hope everybody's fulfilling their mission to get healthier, feel better, chase their dreams, chase their goals, whatever it might be for you. I hope that you're on track. I hope that this first month of 2018 has been inspiring and productive and motivating for you. Really just locking in, digging in. This is where we start to tread off, start to get distracted. We start off so great, and you tend to get distracted. And it doesn't seem to really take long when those old habits want to come back. But just got to keep pressing forward. Get to that 66th day. They say if we can do anything for 66 days, it becomes a habit. And that's true. Having gone through a process last year of having to connect with two people every single day for 66 days and then record it into a Facebook site that my mentor had set up, it was super hard. You know, at first it was like, it was cool, you're excited. Then, you know, day 20, day 30, it's just like, oh, man. Then some days you feel like you forget, so you got to do it before you go to bed. But the great part about this challenge is that if we missed a day, we would have to go back and start all over. And I didn't want to start all over. I'm too competitive for that. So I made sure that every day I made the cut and did what I had to do. But again, I hope everybody's just making it work for yourself and being productive. Excuse me. This year, 2018, is a special year for all of us. And the reason why is I feel like with the climate of America today, and it may be just my age, but so much is being paid attention to healthcare, so much is being paid attention to the political system, so much is being paid attention to jobs and schooling, and it's like the buzz on TV. And you know, I catch TV every now and again, but you hear it. It's in every conversation. It's in coffee shops. And people are just like super engaged. And so if nothing came out of this particular election and what's going on and the divisiveness in the country and a lot of the negative things that are going on with the racism and all of that stuff, as not to say that it was never around, but it seems to be more prevalent and more direct. And so I feel like people are really on their game now. People are really trying to figure out, you know, man, I really have to do something. I can't depend on the system. I can't depend on a person. I can't depend on a government. You can't just depend on people to make your life what it is. You have to go and get it. You have to make your life exactly the way that you want it. And it's hard. It is definitely hard. I'm the first to tell you it's hard. It's hard to stay positive. It's hard to not procrastinate. It's hard to just be motivated sometimes. So, you know, personal development is a big friend of mine. I listen to a lot. I read every day. But even still, after all of that, at the end of the day, you still have to get out of your own head. You still have to get out of your own way. And sometimes that can just be so hard. And you got to push through it. And that's the point of having accountability partners. That's the point of having a team of people around you that you can uplift each other. You can help each other, especially when you're all on the same path, going the same place, trying to do the same things. It's helpful. And, you know, the regular stuff, family life, you know, if you have children, that part of their life and being engaged in that. So you pick your hard, you know, but getting up, going to a job every day that you hate is super hard. You know, living check to check is super hard. And not being fulfilled, even if you make the money and you're still not fulfilled, but you're chasing the check, you know, that's hard. So bet on yourself, and when you bet on yourself, guarantee you'll win. You just have to stick in there and trust in yourself and believe in yourself. So that's my big motto for 2018, and I have to be more intentional, be more urgent about things. And so I've increased my travel for my business to be able to move around more and catch more of these meetings in other states and speak more and just really get out there. Because we live too small, and a lot of times we don't think that we live in big enough, but then when you look at it, it's like, man, I could have done more. And then you do more, and you're like, I could have still done some more. And then when your check don't match your work, then you're like, wow, I need to work harder. So, you know, it's a lot of reminders in building and organizing and doing the things that we need to do. So I hope that that's working for all of you guys, and I hope that you are paying attention and doing the things that needed to be done. Now, I'm going to jump into the topic tonight. This topic is rather near and dear to my heart because you see so many children born either, you know, with severe birth defects, their organs outside of their body, or they don't make it. I heard a story a couple of days ago of a friend of mine had a family member who lost some twins. I don't think they made it. I mean, you know, I think they were still in utero. But, you know, that happened. You hear stories about births, stillborn births. You hear stories about cleft palates and Down syndrome. And, I mean, a lot of things you just hear and see as you travel around. And you wonder a lot of times, man, what do these kids do to deserve those things? Because, you know, we feel like when you see that, it's like being taken out on a child. And part of that's true. And children are so innocent, and they're so lovely, and they're so happy. And it's like, why do these things tend to happen to children? And, you know, we've kind of been brainwashed in that system. I know when my son was born, he was born with three fingers on his left hand. And his he has his index finger and his middle finger, and they're fused together. And his hand is proportionate in the sense that, you know, this part of his hand kind of, I got to get this right, kind of like stops right here. So, you know, instead of all of this over here, it just stops right here and it goes straight down the middle of his hand. And that's where his hand is. And, you know, it tore me up in the beginning because when he was born, I looked at him and I was like, oh, man, that's And these two fingers, the index finger and the middle finger, were fused together. And then his thumb was able to be mobile. And that's about right how it looks right there. And I was like, you know, what happened? And then we decided that, you know, we had to get those two fingers split when he got old enough. So we waited till he was about one to get those fingers split so that he would have a workable hand. And, you know, we had so many questions to the OBGYN and everything. And even when they did that 20-week ultrasound, to see what the sex was, that 3D ultrasound, I remember them saying, you know, the doctor kept saying, you know, go back in and take some more shots because they were trying to wait for him to move around so they could see what it was, the sex was. But they said, you know, go take some more pictures of this, go take some more pictures of that. And the radiologist was coming in and take a few more pictures of his heart and another angle of his heart, but she never explained why. No doctor ever came in and explained why. But after he was born, you know, seeing him like that and, you know, just watching him on the table, they were cleaning him off. And I was just like, oh, man. And I said it like three times. And after that, it left me. And it was like, okay, you know, let's move on. And come to find out, they were checking to see with those shots way back in the 25th week that nobody ever mentioned to us. And then even once he came out, they did some more shots of him just to make sure his heart and everything was strong. And they thought he had Orem-Holt syndrome. And Orem-Holt syndrome is something that happens with the hand, the heart, and the head. Like normally during the developmental process, those things can be affected all at the same time. And he didn't have the Orem-Holt syndrome, which was good. And that just simply meant that his heart was fine. Everything was fine with his head. It was just his hand. And so, you know, through that process, it was kind of jarring and just really trying to figure out why. And the first chance I got to ask the OBGYN, it was like, well, does anybody in his family have anything like that, like toes together or web toes or whatever? And I'm like, no, not that I know of. And I think that his mother had mentioned that it was like her grandfather or something had his toes webbed or something of that nature. But, you know, what about the three fingers? And he was like, well, you know, sometimes it just happens. And I'm like, man, that don't seem right. And, you know, him being born in 2010 was kind of on the cusp of my mother finding out that she had cancer. So not only was I dealing with my son, I was also, you know, dealing with the thoughts of, you know, my mother having cancer and having to deal with that and uterine cancer and trying to help her through those things. And then in 2011, January 19th of 2011, she passed away. And, you know, it was a great time in a sense of clarity, because she told me before she passed away, you know, Donald, don't ever let this happen to anybody else. And I didn't really have the study that I have now, the scholarship that I have now. I didn't have the knowledge that I have now, but I had a book. And when she got cancer, there's this book called The Complete Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. And this was a book that I've had for many years. But in that book, written by Gary Nall, who's a PhD and super, super knowledgeable guy. But in that book, I looked up cancer when I found out my mom had cancer. And one of the things that I learned was, you know, you need to get your body in an alkaline state, you know, eat melon 20 minutes in the morning before you eat anything else. It was like all of these different things that they told you to do. And in doing that, I got a lot of good information. And, you know, it was really just like different from what they were saying with chemo and radiation. I'm like, man, this is a whole lot more out here than what they're telling us. And so then that kind of fueled my passion from there, studying cancer, to really going to study birth defects and what happens. And then and through that study, and this is why it's intentional, this is why you have to be intentional about the things that you want answers to or things that you're passionate about or anything for that matter that's near and dear to you. Because if you be intentional about it and you pay attention to it, then things will start to come your way. Answers will start to come. And in a short 8 months of studying and trying to understand on my own and getting books and reading and going online was when we merged with Youngevity. And I got to meet Dr. Wallach. And Dr. Wallach is super successful in what he's done in veterinary medicine. He's also a naturopath and a pathologist. But he has a book in the Smithsonian Institute that's considered a national treasure. And that book is based on a $25 million grant that was given to him by the United States to determine how pollution affected animals and zoos and how it affected animals in the wild, just pollution. And so through that, you know, he had to do about 20,000 autopsies. And these were like slides and chemistries and probably some physical, but it was like about 17,000 autopsies on 450 different species of animals and about 3,000 on humans for comparison. And one of the things he found out was that animals and humans share a lot of the same nutritional deficiencies. So if an animal is calcium deficient, like your dog who may have to get a hip replacement, you have the same, that dog has the same issues as a human being, and they can be treated the same. You change the protocols just a little bit for human consumption and animal consumption, but the protocols seem to be the same in the sense of what you're taking, the vitamins, minerals, amino acids, because those bodies are made up the same way. And so through that, he also found ways to reverse over 900 diseases in animals, which works the same way for humans, and then birth defects and, you know, how to stop birth defects in animals. And through that, the same thing works for humans. And so I really started studying that, and I got so much feedback and so many answers. And then getting to meet him and speak with him and go to his lectures that he does. I mean, he does 310 free lectures a year across the world. And, you know, because he feels like this information should be on a 6 o'clock news. So he's at 77 years old, 78 years old, in a different hotel every night, 300 and some odd days a year. He's in a different hotel, in a different arena, in a different hotel conference room, wherever, passing his message along every night. So he outworks us all. So those days when I don't feel like doing a Tuesday night radio call or Facebook Live, I'm like, whatever, you know, because the person who started this whole thing, who created this mission, is out working all the time. And so I have no choice. And so this year I said, I have to increase my travel, increase my activity, increase my vision, and just really get out there. Because at the end of the day, I don't have a choice. If this is something you're passionate about, you're going to have to jump one way. And Les Brown says, you jump and grow your wings on the way down. And I keep him on my thoughts. He's in the hospital the past week dealing with some health issues. Les Brown is a super motivational person, wonderful person. And, you know, to even see him in the hospital bed, still recording, still talking, still sowing into people, still using his story as, and his testimony as life for other people who are downtrodden and who life has knocked them down. And, you know, life knocks us down every day, but can continue to get up and continue to fight. So keep him in my thoughts. But with these birth defects, I realized, like, so when I got to talk to Dr. Wallach, he said, yeah, I know why that happened. He said, that happened about the second month, the third week. Mom was deficient in these about 10 different vitamins and minerals, chromium, vanadium, some zinc, some calcium, some magnesium, some phosphorus. I mean, he broke down without ever seeing Jamie, without ever seeing her, without ever seeing a chemistry, a slide, a chart, because he's been doing it for 45 years. And he says that it's all the same, whether it's an animal or a human being, it's the same thing. And because he's been able to reverse those type of things in animals, he knew exactly what it was for humans. So I took that information and I said, well, you know what? I got to learn and build on that myself. And that's where I went. And from about 2011 to close to 2013, 2014, I was always studying, always listening, always reading. It just really gave me a lot of clarity and gave me a lot of answers. And so when I was talking to one of my team members last week, and I was like, you know, what are we going to do this next week? What are we going to talk about? And, you know, birth defects came up. And I said, well, I can't just talk about birth defects without talking about pregnant mothers or breastfeeding and formula. So that's where we are. And one of the big things, and this is what I really realized, why you have to plan pregnancy. You know, from a biblical thing, you know, they say you should be married and all of that and have, you know, have then you start having children. And, you know, so from a biblical standpoint, just so a child's not born out of wedlock, so to speak, or a religious standpoint, whether it be Christianity or whatever religion. But the other reason you should plan your pregnancy from a health perspective is because whatever the mother doesn't have in nutrients, the child doesn't have. And so one of the big things that Dr. Wallach has always said, and he's probably helped more people get pregnant through nutrition than anybody. And without the use of in vitro, without the use of a lot of these things that impregnate women, but just taking the husband and the wife's body and saying, here, let's give it all the nutrients that it needs every single day, and let's build up that nutrient tank. So that way, when you get ready to have this child, or when you get ready to conceive, one, you can keep the baby. You can even conceive the baby, because that takes some work. And you know it takes work if you ever seen people who have tried to get pregnant. Such it was when my son was getting ready to, trying to get him born. It was like you get these charts, you get these graphs, you get all these different things, and you say, well, I'm ovulating this week, but you know, we got 2 days, we got 15 minutes, you know, my ovulation will be over, you know, and it's like, you're watching and you're looking and you're watching and you're looking, and then you're like, wow, I missed it this month, I didn't even get pregnant. And that becomes frustrating. Or you've had some failed pregnancies, but it has happened in my life before, going through two miscarriages and just watching that happen. And that is, you know, a daunting thing when you think life is coming, and it doesn't, or they lose it. I mean, it just takes so much out of you. And so that was something that previously in my life, and, you know, you don't really heal from those things the same way. You feel like you feel better, but you just feel those little pieces that's chopped away from you. And, you know, that happened. And so you kind of wonder, like, man, is it me? What am I not doing? And but then you find out that a lot of it is because the bodies, particularly the mother, isn't properly prepped to have a child. And then you may have that child, and you can develop issues during pregnancy or when you get close to the end of pregnancy. The other thing is some of these birth defects, like Down syndrome, happens almost the second week of pregnancy. The markers for it. So most people don't find out, most women don't find out that they're pregnant until after they've missed a cycle. And sometimes even longer than that, they walk around pregnant and don't even know it. And so then it's like, well, I missed a cycle. I'm feeling a certain kind of way. I got morning sickness or can't sleep at night or discomfort. I need to go get checked out and find out you're pregnant. And that's 5 to 6 weeks that's gone by. And a baby has had no nutrients for 5 to 6 weeks. We water plants more often than that. You feed your fish more often than that, or your animal if you have one, and you feed yourself more often than that. So just imagine you have this child that you don't know you have, but because your body hasn't been prepped with all 90 essential nutrients, it's starving for 6 weeks. And us as a parent, could you imagine just blatantly starving your child for 6 weeks? I mean, we couldn't physically do that unless there was some kind of mental illness going on. But you can't physically just sit there and let your child watch your child starve. And so that's the same thing that happens when we are having consensual sex or sex and it's unprotected, and you know that there's a possibility that you can get pregnant. And whether you're on birth control or not, the fact that you even intimate, you should be at least giving the body everything that it needs. So in that case, in that chance that it does happen, you're ready. And you may not know what happened, but you're giving your body the nutrients every single day. And so you say, well, man, well, I eat food, or I eat, so I'm feeding them something. Yes, but is it the nutrients that it needs every single day? If you eat at McDonald's for breakfast and you eating McDonald's or somewhere else for lunch, and then you're going and cooking fried chicken and having these things for dinner, that's not good food. That's not nutrients. And even if you're eating salads, are you eating enough salad? Because we're just talking about food in this particular case. Are you eating enough salad to get the nutrients that your body needs? When you eat a salad, you do not know how much nutrition you had. You just know you ate something healthy. When you eat green beans and sweet potatoes and zucchini and Brussels sprouts, those things are so, so good, but you don't know how much nutrients you got from those foods. So though you eat very well, there is no scale to say, did I just eat enough nutrients for myself, or do I have some extra? In most cases, we don't have enough for ourselves. Why? Because there is not a lot of nutrition in food. Our body needs 60 minerals every single day. 60 minerals. That's science. That's a proven scientific fact, that our body needs 60 minerals every single day. So if we know that and we're eating plants, plant foods, it only takes 3 minerals to grow a plant. That's phosphorus, potassium, and nitrogen. That's what farmers use. That's what most people who grow local gardens use. Farmers market, you go there, you get vegetables and fruit. You go into the farmers market, it's healthier. Granted, because it may not have pesticides, it may be more closer to organic. But their soil is no different than your soil. And they'll add NPK, which is phosphorus, potassium, and nitrogen, 10, 10, 10 to their soil, and that's how they get some nutrients in their soil. So even if you ate out the garden every single day and you ate 60 minerals, I mean, you ate good food and it was grown in soil that had 3 minerals in it and you need 60, you're still 57 minerals short. So therefore, very well, but you did not have enough nutrients to build a baby. And Dr. Wallach says it like it's a car going down an assembly line and you forget to put the bulbs in the headlights, and you forget to put the lug nuts on the wheels. When it gets to the end of the assembly line, it looks like a car, it feels like a car, but you go to drive it, and if the wheels fall off, and you can't see at night. So just a few things that don't take much, but you have a beautiful car. And that's the same thing that happens with our children, with these either birth defects that happen during pregnancy or some of the behavior and things that happen after pregnancy. And we'll get into that. So it's extremely important that if you are of childbearing age and you're in a relationship or you're sexually active where you can get pregnant, you need to consider your body and consider making sure that you have all 90 essential nutrients in your body. Because that's the last thing we want is for, one, our child who we love dearly and who we would never want anybody to hurt be born in such a way that makes us feel different or wants to make that child's life be different. And so when you look at things like Down syndrome, which happens the 21st week of the, I mean the second or third week of the pregnancy, that's babies, you know, most babies are born with 46 chromosomes. Down's babies have an extra chromosome. You know, one of those chromosomes are extra, and it's called trisomy 21. And 90% of Down syndrome's cases are of that, trisomy 21, where you have that extra chromosome. And it's either that chromosome can show up on the egg, or that extra chromosome can be in the egg or can be in the sperm. And with that extra chromosome, you know, you have a Down's baby, and then they'll do tests where they want to stick a needle in your body into the sac and extract fluid from the spinal region of the baby in the sac with this long needle to test the fluid to see if the baby does have Down syndrome or test for the markers of Down syndrome. And some people opt to do the test, some people don't. In our case, we didn't opt to do that test because we felt like we went to Whole Foods, and this is another part that I'm going to next to. We went to Whole Foods. We got the expensive vitamins, the prenatal vitamins. We got some, a little few little DHAs and different things. Make sure you're drinking your water every day. You know, I try to cook healthy meals every day. And it was like everything was going great. And you get to the end of your pregnancy and you're like, why did this happen? And all your OBGYN can tell you is that it's hereditary. And then in talking to Dr. Wallach, him telling me, you know, kind of when that happened, he also asked me, which was makes so much sense. But he also said, so the mother of your child, your son's mother, how big is she? How you remember how much she was when she was pregnant? How tall is she? And I said, she's about 5'9", 5'10". He said, well, do you know roughly how much she wore? And I said, man, I don't know, probably about 170-something, 165, 170. He said, okay. He said, and so she started taking prenatal vitamins when she found out she was pregnant. And I said, yeah. And he said, well, how many did she take? And I said, I believe it was two, either two twice a day or two a day. He said, okay. And he said, so when she had the baby, how much did she weigh? And I said, about maybe 200 pounds, 205, something like that. And he said, okay, so she gained, you know, 20 pounds or whatever, 25 pounds. He said, now, was she still taking two or four or how many you say prenatal vitamins? Was she taking the same amount at the beginning of the pregnancy she was taking at the end of the pregnancy? I said, absolutely. He said, well, that could be another problem. He said, I don't know how good or bad those vitamins were. He said, they could have been very good vitamins or not very good vitamins. He said, but if you're taking the same amount at one weight and then you're taking the same amount at a heavier weight, you're not getting the same amount of nutrition even if you was getting nutrition. And it blew me away because I was like, man, that makes so much sense. Why couldn't OBGYN tell us that? Here I had to meet this man after my son was born. And it's like those are the things that they should tell you. Hey, you need to up this. You need to change that. You have to have more nutritious foods. You need to supplement. You need to do these things. And even when you're going to see them, every so many days you see them, or every so many months you see them, or weeks you see them when you first find out you're pregnant, through your pregnancy, they should be telling you, hey, what you're eating like? Let's sit down. Let's go over your diet. Because if you have certain cravings, that means you're deficient in certain nutrients. And if you've got these crazy cravings, you're nutrient deficient. That's what cravings are. Cravings are no different in men and women. They're no different when you're pregnant than when you're not pregnant. The only thing that happens when you're pregnant is you have so many nutrients being robbed from you and so many different ones that you don't necessarily pay attention to day to day. You get these crazy cravings where you want pickles and ice cream and all of these different things. Same thing, whether you're a man or a woman and you don't have a child, and you just crave sugar, you crave ice cream, you crave fried foods. When you crave ice cream or candy, that's a blood sugar imbalance. So your body's asking you for chromium and vanadium and about 23 other cofactors that go along with that, but it don't know how to tell you that. It just says, I want sugar. I don't care how we get it. I don't care where we get it from. I want sugar, and I want these particular types of sugar. It's the same thing with alcoholics. They want sugar, but they want sugar through the process of alcohol because that's what alcohol turns into. That's what alcohol is sugar. And then they get addicted to what's in the alcohol, and then it becomes a drug. Same thing, fried foods. You're addicted to eating French fries. You want French fries and ice cream. So you want the fried, you want the fried part, and you want the ice cream. Or you want fried chicken, or you want fried fish, or whatever it might be. Fried foods, you're deficient in your omega 3s, 6s, and 9s at the proper ratios. There's a ratio of omega 3s, 6s, and 9s we need in our body. It's not just take some fish oil. I just take omega 3s because we don't really need the 6s and 9s. You do need the 6s and 9s. You may not need as many, but you need them. You need a proper ratio of them. And we know that because that's one of the things that Dr. Wallach sued the FDA on. It has a health claim to be able to say that the proper ratios of omega 3s, 6s, and 9s can prevent strokes. So those cravings mean something. But you go there and you tell them, hey, I'm craving this, or I'm craving that, and they just laugh. Oh, man, they tell you what they craved, and they have no idea that your body's asking you for certain things, and the prenatal vitamin is not giving it to you. Because, one, it may not be enough. Two, you may not be absorbing that vitamin. It's super important that in that process, you're giving yourself the right amount of nutrients. And then when we talk about getting close to pregnancy or getting close to term, and terms like preeclampsia come up. And that's like high blood pressure, gestational high blood pressure, protein in the urine. And they almost will go get the baby because of those type of situations, or they'll put you on bed rest. The liver and the kidneys are affected, extremely affected. And that's why pregnancy and childbirth can be so dangerous, especially if the body's not healthy and the body's not properly prepped. And then you have a child, and you have a healthy baby, and then you don't realize then now a lot of your problems kick in because you've gave so much of yourself, there's nothing left. So some parents die, some mothers die on the table after they have their baby. Some extreme cases like that. Some just feel extremely bad, and then they have postpartum depression. Depression is classified as a blood sugar imbalance. And so you postpartum depressed a lot because a lot of, again, the chromium, the vanadium, the other 23 cofactors that help maintain healthy blood sugar levels have been thrown completely out of whack. Because you haven't been getting those things into the body. And so, therefore, the child has robbed you of them. And a lot of things that come with the emotions and hormones of a woman trying to get back in balance. And hormones, we understand, are cholesterol. Cholesterol does two things. Cholesterol makes new cells, and cholesterol makes hormones. Progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone is 100% by weight cholesterol. So again, we're carrying this child, and we don't have healthy cholesterol levels. So the hormone imbalance gets off, the chemical balance gets off in the brain, and you have depression and anxiety and the things that happen after pregnancy. And so then you wonder why do people go through this? And most of the time, it's nutritionally based. Their deficiencies in the lack in the levels of nutrition that are in the body. The mother wonder why she can't get the baby fat off, or wonder why that things sag but they don't go back. Well, if you understood what copper does, copper will tighten you up. Copper is a natural lift. It will lift things back up. It will tighten things back up. So you're copper deficient, and when you look at varicose veins, crow's feet, hemorrhoids, gray hair, those things, sagging, those things are copper deficiencies. Aneurysms, people who have aneurysms, are copper deficiencies. Why? Because the copper helps the elasticity in the body stay tight, stay to where it needs to be. So an aneurysm is nothing but like an inner tube. You ever seen a bike inner tube and it has a bulge in it because you hit a hole a certain way and you got that bulge in your tire? The elasticity gave up in that particular area, and so now that's the same as an aneurysm in your brain or in your leg or in your artery somewhere. But if you had the copper in your body, that elasticity stays tight, and so those things don't happen. Gray hair, the elasticity, or copper helps with the pigment control in the follicles of the hair. Crow's feet, same thing. That skin starts to loosen and gather instead of being taut and pulled back. Then you look at varicose veins. Those are veins that are pretty much have lost their elasticity. So if mother's new to get on a copper, just take all 90 essential nutrients because there's copper in there. That's going to help the body get back to balance. That's going to help the body repair itself and get it back to where it needs to be. Not only that, but then the milk production will help. The body lactates. Then we talk about, from there, we talk about breastfeeding versus formula. Because a mother will have a child, and a lot of times, maybe the child can't latch on. In the case of my son, he couldn't latch on early. And so we had to pump, and then we give him the bottle. Or some parents just choose not to breastfeed because they don't want to. It's uncomfortable. But however, if they're getting the breast milk, we say, man, that's so much healthier. That's so much better for the child. And it is. Definitely antibodies and things are passed along. But if there are no nutrients in the body, those nutrients can't be passed along through the breast milk. So, yes, breast milk is good for you, but it has to come from something, and there has to be something there. And one interesting thing I learned in reading, and I've read it a couple of different times just to make sure that my story was correct, but when breastfeeding, before there were pumps, you nursed on one breast. And as you were nursing on that one breast, the other breast leaked, and you had to put a towel over it. Well, that leaking of that breast is toxins being removed from the body. So that's how the mother's body would detoxify itself, to keep the toxins out of the milk in one breast, and it drips on the other. And then when that breast is done, you have to switch. And as you switch, the body automatically stops and rearranges and starts to send it dripping out of the other side, and then they drink the milk out of there. And, that was the most interesting thing to me that I read. And it's funny to me because when breast pumps first came out, there was only one pump for one breast. And people were like, man, you pump this breast for a while, then you stop and you pump that breast, and you're like, man, I'm feeling engorged. They're like, somebody said we need to have two. And then they come out with two pumps, and we didn't realize that a lot of the toxins can't get out of the mother's body because we're pumping both breasts into the same bottle, two separate bottles. And then sometimes you put those bottles together in some cases, and you can see a difference in the milk. And that was amazing to me. And then I had a friend of mine whose wife started taking the nutrients after she had the baby and was taking them every day religiously. And she was nursing, and she sent me a picture one day, and it was like, it was like some milk in a bottle, and the bottle was about three, maybe a half full or a quarter of the way full. And then she showed me a picture of another bottle, and she said, man, this is just like after a month of taking these vitamins, look how much more milk production I have, and look at the clarity of the milk, and look how rich it looks, and look at this other side. It was almost like running water. And I was like, wow, you know, that's amazing to me. But so I learned, and my son was breastfed all the way up until about a year and some change because we wanted to make sure that we kept his body healthy with the milk and the antibodies so that he can endure that surgery that he had to have, having his finger split. And so he got breastfed much longer. But a lot of times kids get about 6 months old and they stop breastfeeding them, or they wait till they get close to a year and they start weaning them off of breast milk and putting them on either solid food or they stop altogether and put them on formula. Or some kids just start off on formula, maybe they're prenatal babies, premature babies, and, you know, they can't leave the hospital, and so they have to have formulas of different sorts. But Food Chemistry is a magazine, and they did a study a few years back on the three major brands of milk. There's Enfamil, Similac, and Gerber, and I think maybe Beechnut, if I'm not mistaken. But what they did was they looked at those four versus foods for animals, children, which are baby goats. You know, they looked at those type of foods and milk that they would get. And dog food or puppy food has 100% of the nutrition that a puppy needs. Kitten food has 100% of the nutrition a kitten needs. Horse food or pellets or nutrition has 100% nutrition. Calf food, what calves get, have 100% nutrition. But baby formulas only have 20% of the nutrition that a baby needs. So we might, as mothers, give them breast milk, which is only as good as the mother's body and the nutrients in the mother's body. But also we say, well, wow, we'll put them on formula because we can buy these different formulas that are enriched with this, enriched with that. We can make sure they're getting all the nutrients, but they're only getting 20% of the nutrients that they need. And Dr. Wallach actually had petitioned the FDA to make sure that, or to say that they should add more selenium to baby formulas or to baby foods, in particular the formulas, because he learned during a study in China in the Kishan province that a bunch of kids were dying from cardiomyopathy heart attacks, but they were babies. And they call it Kishan disease. And it's one of those poor provinces in China, and they couldn't figure it out. And when he went in, him and his wife, they started learning, wow, these kids, there's no selenium in the soil in that province at all. And so these children were being born with selenium deficiencies. The parents didn't have selenium because there's just none, and you don't eat enough spinach and enough food with selenium in it to really get any nutrients out. So these children were dying at an alarming rate. And finally, when they got down to the bottom of it and realized it was selenium deficiency, they petitioned the government over there. And from what I understand through the story, what Dr. Wallach tells it, they have it such now when those kids go to school, they get a selenium tablet every morning. And then the other thing is, through cancer, he also was able to say that selenium can prevent and reverse certain types of cancers. And Dr. Gerhard Schnauzer and Dr. Wallach and a lot of those naturopathic physicians back then, Alanis Pauling, that said a lot about what selenium could do in the effects of cancer and heart attacks and different types of heart diseases. And so there was a study that was done that said if mothers would give their children, as they started to become, I think, about 6 or 7 years old, if they started giving them 200 micrograms of selenium all the way up until the time they were adults, we could prevent breast cancer by 82%. So if you look at all the breast cancer that's going on right now, just imagine if we stopped at the beginning of this year, and every day, every woman, just like they do in China, would have to give their daughter a selenium tablet. By the time they reach adulthood, we could prevent breast cancer by 82%. But yet we're doing runs and races and walks trying to figure out cures for something when there's already science behind it. It boggles my mind. So in him petitioning the FDA saying that they should add more selenium to baby formulas, they didn't listen right away. But I think 2 years ago in 2014, the FDA came out and said that they will increase the maximums of selenium that are in baby formulas. But overall, baby formula only has 20% of the nutrients that a child needs. So let's just look at this. Because we talked about birth defects and how a lot of them happen prior to women even realizing they're pregnant, some during pregnancy because of maybe the mother's state of health or certain things happen. You know, it can be some abuse or shock to the mother or accidents. You know, those are some things that happen. But from a general health perspective, those birth defects still happen. And we realize that, one, they're not taking enough nutrients to feed themselves and a baby. And two, they're not increasing their nutrients. They get bigger and gain more weight. And the child gets bigger and needs more nutrients. And then we get to the child being born. And we get them on formula, or we put them on breast milk, or give them breast milk and then put them on formula, or do both, or whatever. And then you get to a certain point in time after a year, year and a half, whatever it might be. And then you say, okay, it's time to start introducing them to solid foods. And so we do the mashed potatoes, which is a starch, which turns into sugar. And these are things we just don't know. And I say it the way I say it, but it's because we don't know what we don't know. And this is the reason why we have these platforms. And so I don't say it to be mean or to put off or like we should have known it, but it's just the way that I deliver it, because once you think about it, it's like, man, that makes so much sense. But, yeah, we put them on white potatoes. We give them McDonald's French fries, which is grease, fried food, not really even real potatoes in the sense of McDonald's, a lot of chemicals and additives in that potato. But we give them that. We give them fried chicken, one more so they can chew on the bone, and hope that they get some nutrients from the bone, which can happen once they get cut through all the grease that's on there. But we give them Eggo waffles with syrup. We cut up, you know, French toast sticks. We give them Sunny Delight or juice in their bottle, apple juice, which has about 32 grams of sugar in it. Sometimes we cut it with water, which we should, to dilute it a little bit. But we don't really give our children nutrition. Or we don't give them things like eggs because we have to wait to see if they're allergic to eggs. Sometimes we have to wait to see if they're allergic to peanut oil or peanuts. So we don't give them eggs. But eggs is the perfect protein. Eggs helps balance cholesterol. And children, babies love, love, love sweet potatoes. You could bake a sweet potato and give it to a baby, and they would, with nothing on it. You could put a little bit of butter on it, but they don't need that. Like, the sweetness of a sweet potato, a child would just love. They love fruit, real fruit, once they start to able to eat it and digest it. But watermelon, you give a baby watermelon, man, that juice is running all over the place. I mean, a lot of foods that we can feed our children, but we also have to understand, too, the regular American household is rushing every morning. They're rushing to get up. They're rushing to get out of the house. They throw something in the toaster. They throw something in the oven. And then now this child is eating a lot of foods that are not conducive to them. And then we don't give them any nutrition on top of that. We don't give them any vitamins. And then if we do, we get to a point where we give them some over-counter vitamins like Flintstone vitamins. And I took Flintstone vitamins as a kid. And Flintstone vitamins are now genetically modified. So if you're giving your children Flintstone vitamins, you need to stop, honestly, and go look it up. A lot of these vitamins and gummies and a lot of things have gluten in them. And you should really do research behind it. You know, it's one thing to stand in the store and look at the back of the bottle. But some of those numbers, some of those bottles have 1-800 numbers on them. Most of them do. And you can call that company and say, hey, are these vitamins genetically modified? Or are all the, can you send me the data sheet on these vitamins to see how they're sourced, to see where they're getting the vitamin C from? I mean, this is your child. So to say you don't have time is not a good excuse, because a lot of times when we have our first child, we make sure we do everything to the T, read the books, soon something drop on the floor, we wipe it off, we wash it, we quarantine it. I mean, we do everything. We know exactly when that child is going to go to the bathroom. We don't want the diaper sitting on them no longer than it has to. We have to take that same education, and we have to take, we have to take that same drive and that same eagerness to want to protect our child and do that with what we're going to give them, the foods that they eat. Not just because they taste good or because it's quick, but to give them a Lunchable. That's got to be the worst food on the planet, is a Lunchable. You go read the back of a box, you go read a Lunchable, the back of a box on a Lunchable, and it's like reading an essay. It's so many paragraphs of long words and stuff you don't even understand. I don't understand. And all they're describing is what's in the lunch meat. All they're describing is what's in the pepperoni. All they're describing is what that pizza or that hamburger is made of. I mean, that is straight manufactured food. And they fly off the shelves. I mean, they can't keep Lunchables on the shelf. Every time I go on a field trip with my son or go to his school, kids eating Lunchables. And here I make his lunch every day and take his lunch to school. And he'll say, "Dad, I want a Lunchable like such and such had." And I have to explain to him, "Son, in all good conscience, I mean, I'm your parent, and my job is to protect you and look over you. And I cannot feasibly, in good conscience, buy you a Lunchable. I just can't." I mean, it's just certain stuff you shouldn't do. And he's like, "Why?" And I said, "Jamie, read what these things say on the back of this box." And he doesn't know. And then he'll say, "Well, do you know?" "I know, I don't know." We try to sound some of them out. One day we sat in the store and we looked up a couple of those words just to see what they meant. I said, "Just like you get spelling words in school, here's dad spelling words. Let me look them up and see what they mean." And it was this chemical or that chemical. I said, "Son, we just can't do this." And he said, "Okay." I said, "But I make you so much close to a Lunchable. I cut up cucumbers and celery and give you some good organic salad dressing and let you dip them in. Or I make you a sandwich, physically make you a sandwich, like old school, lettuce on it, salt and pepper on it. We go to Trader Joe's and we get your cookies so you can have good cookies, some gluten-free cookies. You know, we do those things. We give you fruit. You have fruit every single day, oranges or apples or grapes and strawberries together. Red grapes and strawberries together is a bomb, too, by the way. You know, if you like red grapes and strawberries, buy some and cut them up and mix them together. Man, that tastes so good. Bananas. But we make these things, and I go through every morning making this stuff for you because it's life or death every single day. And then some days they'll be like, "Can I have school food? Can I have pizza in school?" And I know I grew up on those things. And I tell him, "Son, sometimes you can, because you got to live a little bit." And I understand that his friends are doing it, and he doesn't really understand the magnitude of it right now. But most of the time, we're consistent, and that's what the big deal about it is. And most of the time, I make a big deal about it. So every now and again, he might have something for lunch in school, or he might get some ice cream from school. But he understands that it's just sometimes. It's not an everyday thing. I remember us growing up. Now, it was a treat to go to McDonald's. You went to McDonald's like once a month maybe, especially if you grew up like we, you know, you grew up poor, you don't really have the money to feed a whole family at McDonald's, and McDonald's food back then don't seem like it was as cheap as it is now. There was no dollar menu. So a 20-piece nugget went a long way if you had five kids and everybody getting four chicken nuggets, I mean, french fries. But that was on occasion. I mean, you didn't get McDonald's, but like I said, once a month. I mean, when you went to McDonald's, you knew something was going down. You did something good for the whole month. Now that's an everyday occurrence. And it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, so a lot of the dynamic has changed from when we were even children, which ain't really been that long ago, until now. And so our kids start out on these foods, and they get very little nutrition. They don't get the DHAs and the EPAs and the EFAs for good brain development. So one day, we've been feeding this child this. He's been drinking whole milk. And one day he just seems to be distant. You say, "Man, why is he distant? He doesn't seem to be responding." We take him to the doctors. "Oh, he has autism." Was he just one of the unlucky ones to get autism? Not necessarily. But he has not had anything for brain development in 2 years. He has not had any significant amount of nutrition in his body for 2 whole years. And then you get the children that are 5 and 6 and 7 years old, 8 years old, with cancer. And cancer comes from the body being in an acidic state. Cancer lives in most of us. It's just what activates that cancer. Long periods of acidity in the body will activate that cancer, depending on where it is and what it is. And so you look at a child and like, man, they're only 7 and 8 years old and they're going through chemotherapy and radiation. No child should have to go through that. They got leukemia. They got Hodgkin's disease. They got different lymphomas. And it's like, why? And I'm not saying this is the only reason, but for 8 years, they've had no significant amount of nutrition in their body. They've not had a vitamin of any significance, a mineral of any significance. And I say significance because you have to be deliberate in making sure that your children are taking the right vitamins and minerals. The minute they get sick or they get the sniffles, we run to the doctor and they give us an antibiotic or amoxicillin or whatever it is, and we run straight to the pharmacy and we talk to that pharmacist. Is that mix going to last for 10 days? How much do I give them every day? Can I give it to them tonight? So should I give it to them the same time every day? We ask those questions, and we diligent about asking those questions. We beat the doctor down in the doctor's office answering those questions because we want our child to be healthy, get better as fast as they can because we don't want to see them suffer. They get a fever, and instead of letting the fever get to about 102, 103, as soon as it gets to about 100, you're giving them Motrin, or you're giving them ibuprofen or Tylenol. And all the body's saying is, hey, we got something going on here. We got to fight. And I can fight it on my own. Just leave me alone. Oh, but we got a fever. We got to break the fever. The fever is just, this fever is the body working. The fever is not the problem. The problem is going on inside the body, and the fever is going there to fix it. Fever is basically saying, hey, let me heat you up so we can kill this bacteria. Now, yes, when it gets above 103, 104, then, yeah, we got to do something because then you talk about brain damage and different things going on. I understand that. But we can put cool compressors on the body. We can control the temperature of the body through cool compressors, putting things on their feet, like making sure they don't have any socks on, giving them sitz baths. You don't really want to change the body from doing what it's doing, alter the body's state by giving it medication. You want to control it. And that's the way it was done when I was a kid and depending on your age when you were a kid. But it's like now we run straight to the counter or run straight to the pharmacy and grab ibuprofen. And then the doctor said, oh, give them ibuprofen and Tylenol. Give them one time, and then give them one next time. Give them Tylenol one time, give them ibuprofen next time. Now, ibuprofen, you got to wait a little bit longer, 6 to 8 hours or 6 hours. But Tylenol, you can do every 4 hours. I mean, if we on it, like a time clock. And then it takes 7 days anyway for the child to get better, whether they're on medication. That's why they take the antibiotic, 7 to 10 days. The body will get better in 7 to 10 days. You leave it alone and just keep boosting the immune system. But if we were that, we should be that intentional every day with our children's nutrition as we are when they have a fever or when they have that ear infection. That's what we should be intentional. We should be as intentional about that. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be. But one, we just haven't been educated because we've been told that, or not told, and sometimes that's the worst thing, when somebody just watch you do stuff and don't tell you. And so you go through life and you don't really think nutrition is important. Oh, we're gonna give them the applesauce from the grocery store. We're gonna give them the apple slices that come in a bag instead of buying an apple and cutting it up. You know, we'll give them fruit in a jar or in a can, instead of getting the real fruit, because you can get fruit cocktail for 99 cents, but you can get one apple for 99 cents. But we have to be intentional about our children's health, because a lot of things that happens over a period of time comes from the fact that we don't have or they don't get any nutrition for extremely long periods of time. And so, you know, with that being said, it's extremely important. And then our children start to play sports or they get into activities where they're exerting energy. and they're sweating. Then their bodies start to break down. They start to get injuries. They start to get cramps. They start to get headaches. They break bones. Non-contact injuries, meaning that nobody hits them. They just step the wrong way and their bones break. Or they run real hard and something breaks. Or we have situations where children are dealing with eczema and asthma and constipation and diarrhea. And that's one telltale sign that a child is gluten intolerant. Is when they have eczema, asthma, constipation, or diarrhea. They can have one or they can have all four. And when that happens, you understand that that child is gluten intolerant, which means they need to go on a gluten-free diet. The reason why they need to go on a gluten-free diet and you need to take them off of things that contain gluten is because now you just, the body is telling you that I cannot absorb nutrition because the absorption of nutrition happens in the small intestine. And in the small intestines, there are little finger-like villi. And as food particles flow by in the small intestines, the villi grabs those food particles and then it sucks the nutrients out and it puts it right into the bloodstream. So that's how the absorption of nutrition happens. But when you have villi that are this long, when you start out and then you start giving them gluten and gluten comes along and it just bowls over the villi, now they're this short and you have so much nutrition or so many food particles that are just going over it instead of catching it because these have been worn down, now the absorption of nutrition doesn't happen. And when you can't absorb nutrition, then certain deficiencies start to kick in. And when those deficiencies kick in, then the body starts to break down because you're nutrient deficient for long periods of time. Eczema, constipation, and diarrhea, or any skin issues, it doesn't necessarily have, it could be dermatitis, it could be alopecia. Those things come from gluten intolerance. So from there, you put the child on a gluten-free diet. And some doctors are getting hip to this because so many people are now suffering with celiac disease. And that's why when you go in grocery stores now, you have a whole aisle or a couple aisles dedicated to gluten-free foods. And people say, oh, man, that's nasty. That stuff is nasty. And never even tried it before. And we eat a lot of gluten-free food in here. And I can tell you it's not nasty. And the difference between gluten-free items that contain gluten and items that don't. Items that contain gluten, barley, rye, and oats. So like honey buns, cakes, pies, pasta, breads, beer. A lot of those things contain gluten, which is wheat, barley, rye, and oats. Your flour, anything that says enriched wheat or enriched flour or wheat or oats, oatmeal. We give our children oatmeal. Because we think we're doing the right thing. And sometimes we put so much sugar in it that it don't taste like oatmeal. Or we put so much brown sugar in it that it don't taste like oatmeal. But we give them oatmeal nonetheless because we think that's helping them. But oats are what's causing their gluten intolerance. Then we'll put the Aveeno oatmeal bath lotion on them, which contains oats. And now we wonder why their skin looks the way that it does. Because they're starting to build up a gluten intolerance. You as a mother, if you're breastfeeding your child and the mother is gluten intolerant, it's in the breast milk. So then the child can't take your milk because it's like he gets an upset stomach. He gets gassy. Why does that happen? And the doctor will say, take them off formula, put them on a special kind of milk. Then they'll say, well, he's lactose intolerant. So now we got to put him on this type of milk. But at the end of the day, the mother can nurse. She just has to be on a gluten-free diet. So that's another thing that's happening to our young children. They're not absorbing much of any nutrition. So even if we are giving them somewhat of a nutritious diet or we're still giving them toast and jelly and peanut butter and jelly with the regular bread and all of that kind of stuff, they're developing gluten intolerance. And you'll go get the test done, because you heard me say it tonight, and you'll come back and you'll say, well, my son had the allergy test done, or my daughter had the allergy test done, and they're not allergic to wheat. Notice I said, I didn't say allergic. I said intolerant. So you can have an allergy to something, but just because you don't have an allergy to something don't mean that you don't have an intolerance to something. That's like some people, I can drink 12 beers, I might not be drunk, but damn if I don't feel different. I have an intolerance. That intolerance is kicking in. Like, wait a minute, that's getting about to be enough now. You keep doing it, you're going to get real sick. Or you're going to be drunk. Same thing with gluten intolerance. That gluten intolerance gets to a point, and then it turns into things like celiac disease or Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis or diverticulitis. And then you have to get on a gluten-free diet. And if you got celiac disease, you really have to be on a gluten-free diet because you will get violently ill. And people who have celiac disease are some of the healthiest people once they understand that they leave the gluten alone because they have to, and they start to take the supplementation serious because their body repairs itself, their small intestine repairs itself, and then they can start to take in nutrition and they feel healthier, they look better. But they tell you, I got celiac disease. So they live healthy lives as long as they stay away from gluten. Same thing for us. Instead of getting to that point, start reining it in now and cutting the gluten out as much as possible before you have to. And then you're changing your diet and you're switching things overnight. Find things that you like now. I do a lot of my shopping at Trader Joe's. They have good gluten-free waffles. They come in a yellow box. They got gluten-free pancakes. Come in a blue box. When you buy, if you buy lunch meat, you have to have lunch meat. Make sure you buy the lunch meat that's nitrate and nitrite free and gluten free. They make lunch meat like that. Now, it's going to cost you some more. But again, if it's for your child, it's worth it. You want them to have the best. So many of us can't afford to put a college fund together for our children. So many of us can't afford to clothe our children the way that we want to because of our financial circumstances. But seem like Christmas time, we have something for them. Seem like Black Friday time, we go out and we get something for them. So we make a way even when we don't think there is a way. So don't just deduce to say, it's so expensive for them to just eat healthy. But you're okay with going out and sacrificing and buying all of the things that you buy. Let that be one of the things you do all the time. And be able to tell your child, you know what? I can only get you two things for Christmas this year. And the reason why is because I'm changing your diet. We're going to eat really well. We're going to take our nutrition and we're going to be healthy. Because a healthy child can live his passion and live his dreams and get everything he wants on his own. But to be back and forth at the hospital with your child or doctor's offices, you having to take off from work, you having to be home because he's sick or she's sick, that's expensive. That's where it becomes expensive. And then we have these children and these women that grow up with certain habits and certain issues that they've been growing up with, and then they have children. And then it's passed along to their children in the sense of the mother didn't have all the things that she needed before she had a child. And so now that child is being born with so many deficiencies and so many problems on top of the ones that the mother had. And so it compounds. And that's why our children are getting unhealthier and unhealthier and unhealthier as the generations go by. And I think it was a National Geographic article, a big article, National Geographic, that said this is going to be the first year or the first generation that the parents will be burying their children if we don't do something different. And it was a hell of an article to read, but it was also eye-opening because of the state of America right now. I mean, there are documentaries out like What the Health and documentaries out on What's with Wheat and a lot of these things that forks over knives. I mean, a lot of these things that we've gone on Netflix and watched and looked at, and you see the state of America. And it's amazing to me because America is a melting pot of people. We all pretty much originate from somewhere else besides the Native Americans. And so in that, if we went back to our own country, so for instance, obesity is America's first in obesity. Number one country in the world for obesity. 40% of Americans are obese. So if we all went back to our individual homeland, we wouldn't be obese, or at least we wouldn't be number one in obesity. One in three Americans are diabetic or pre-diabetic. If you went back to your homeland, the rate of diabetes is not as high. The United States spends more money on health care or sick care than all 200 nations combined. but we're still some of the unhealthiest people on the globe. So it can't be the people. It must be the country that's doing it to the people. I had this conversation all the time, and I get fired up about it. How you can go on a gas station, and for me to buy Fiji water in a gas station or Le Bleu water in a gas station, $3 and change, but I can get a beer for 99 cents. I mean, that I get so fired up about that. I mean, I will have a conversation with people ad nauseum. Like, I will get on my soapbox about that. Like, seriously. And I get so passionate about it, I tell the clerk about it. Especially if some of these clerks, especially in the stores in the hood, which is near and dear to me, and we go in there and we want to try to be healthy. And they have 3 or 4 apples in there and charge you $2 for an apple, but yet you can get a pack of Nylators and some gum and a bunch of crap for the same amount of money. And I'm like, well, man, y'all don't have to charge that much. You truly don't. You even go in some grocery stores and you can't get the same food in one grocery store that you can get across town at a more upper echelon type neighborhood. That's the stuff that I get passionate about. Like, I get upset about that, seriously. And I'm better than I used to be, but I'm still passionate about that. And I don't have no problem telling people about it when I go to those stores. It's just not fair. Like, it's hard enough to try to figure out labels and try to figure out how to eat, what to eat, and can I eat this and can I do that, than to just be able to just make it to the store that's around you and you don't have the same option. And the options that you do have are so much more expensive than other options. And so we're pigeonholed into being unhealthy. And that's where I feel like the country needs to be different, where there is a balance of food, where you have access to the same food, whether you live in a $500,000 neighborhood or a $50,000 neighborhood, stuff that I get passionate about and drives me crazy. But we can't control that. You know, you can fight that fight, but trust me, it's not a class you want to sign up for. Because that snake and that mission is big. That's like you going to the FDA and fighting them instead of helping the people that's around you. I can reach more people around me faster than I can reach an organization like that. That doesn't have any interest in making it better for us. So I say, you know what, let me educate and help the people, and we get educated together. And they teach me something, and I teach them something. And then we teach each other, and then we teach our children. That's what it's about for me. That's what the whole Youngevity brand is about. That's what the people within Youngevity are about. That's when the people that are affiliated, the companies that come in, that's what it's all about. One mind frame on the same path of health and wellness and creating a life of finance and creating a life of resource. Because money is wonderful, but it's not the money that you want. It's what you want to do with the money, and that's what we need to focus on. We need the money for a particular reason. So people chasing money, but chase the goal. Chase the dream. The money will show up. Or use the money for that and focus on that, not just the money. Because a lot of times it doesn't take money to get a lot of those things done. But it does take time and it does take hard work. Same thing with your health. You have to be intentional about it. So with that being said, one, we have a detox that's about ended. Those guys started on January the 5th. They've done such a wonderful job. Next week I'm going to make sure that I mention the team and try to get a synopsis of what people have changed, what changes they've made, and shout them out, whether it be weight loss, whether it be inches lost, whether it be sleeping better, whatever it might be for them, just shout them out. Because to go through something for 30 days and sacrifice and do it as a team, it's fun, it's engaging, but you get the results. And, you know, people losing anywhere from 10 to 20 pounds in a month is nothing. People getting off medication is nothing. I mean, the detox, when you start to really change the body's chemistry and take care and take over, and you go in and you say, it's a new sheriff in town and we're going to do things the right way, the body's like, oh, yeah, I'm ready. So, you know, we got another detox starting on February the 2nd, and that's going to be pretty interesting. We're going all the way until March, and then that and I'll, next week I'll announce when the next detox group is starting. That next class of detox members is starting in March. And we just roll right through. And so that's always exciting. We have a GroupMe page up where we add everybody to the GroupMe chat. And we just talk and they just talk and then go at it all day long and share stories and share food, and it's just a wonderful support system. And so that's a really big deal for me, and that's a big deal to the team. And then we take it from there and we say, let's figure out what issues you're still having, and let's talk about what nutrients you need, what group of nutrients you need, what protocol you need, so we can continue to move forward. We even got things for our children to do in the sense of protocols and nutrients and activities and things that they can do. So the healthier you can keep people, the more they can live their passion and dreams, or the more they can go and get what they need to get to support their families without having those hiccups in the hospital or hiccups in the doctor's offices or days off from work, taking care of children or taking care of themselves. So I definitely appreciate everybody joining. If there's any questions over here, press 1 and I'll take your questions. If you have them on the live side, you can inbox me. You can post it in the comments. For some reason today, I'm not able to see the comments, and I'm not sure why. But I apologize for that. If you commented and I've not seen it, I don't know why the comments, that screen over there is blank. So I'm not seeing anything in the comments section. But we do have people watching, and they've been on and off watching, and people go back and watch. So I appreciate that. And I hope this is valuable to you. I hope it's brought some value to your life. I hope it's brought some value to those you know. And if you heard something today that you wish somebody else needed to hear, send them this Facebook Live. If they're not on Facebook, and you can send them the recording of the call, just text me. My phone number is 919-599-0916. And you can send me a text message and just say Health Talk recording, and I'll send you the recording. And you can take that recording and you can forward it to someone who you felt like might need it to hear this, because it's all important. And if there's any reason you need want to have a consultation, we do free consultations. We'll sit and we'll talk with you and we'll go through these things. Or the person that invited you to check out this call or check out this live, reach back out to them and say, hey, man, I need to do a few things. If nothing else, I need to help my children. Tell me what it is I need to do, and we'll get with you and help you. This is serious to me. Super serious. To have a son being born the way he's born and not know why, to have a mother lose my mother to cancer at 57 years old, her sister died at 55 years old of a stroke, and I think her other sister died at 55 years old of a heart attack. So my mother and her three sisters died in their 50s. The oldest person on my mother's side of the family, immediate side of the family, is a cousin who's in her 60s. That's the oldest person. This right here means something to me every day that I get up, and every Tuesday that I get to come and present. And this has been such a busy week for me that I felt like I didn't even get to prepare like I really wanted to. But I pushed through it anyway. I kept reading anyway. I prepared anyway, because I feel like there's value that comes out of this. And just to create a dialogue and create a conversation, just if you say, hey, go challenge your OBGYN, you know, that you're pregnant, or let's go figure out what it is you need, or let's just make a few phone calls. The resources out here, you can find anything on the internet that's truthful, false, anything. But just start looking. If you don't want to come my way, or if you don't want to go the way of the person who invited you. Sometimes that happens. We see people like, man, yeah, they, whatever. But go somewhere. Start to search somewhere. Create that dialogue somewhere. Because we have too many children that are born so unhealthy. Rough pregnancies. We have too many parents or too many children that are growing into adults and teenagers that are so unhealthy. Dying way too early of cancer and strokes in their 20s and 30s and 40s. But if you think about it from the other side, they've gone 20, 30 years with no nutrition. Plants won't even live that long if you stop feeding it. You stop giving it sunlight. You stop watering it. A goldfish won't live that long. But yet we go that long without feeding our bodies the right stuff. And there are days and there are times when we're going to have something else. We're going to quote-unquote treat ourselves. But understand, it's just the truth. It's not to be indulged in day to day. and especially for our children. And when you start your children out on a strict regimen, they don't know to waver from it because that's all they know. And so you got about a 5 to 6 year head start, like I had with my son, before you start to go to school and he's looking around at the other kids like, why are they eating that? Why are they doing that? Now it creates another level of dialogue, and then we can talk more about it. But you have control over your child's diet, especially when they're first born, up until the time that they leave your house and even up until the time that they start to think on their own. So that's why they say you got about 7 years before a child or a kid gets stuck in their ways. So when that 7 years, it's a race to make sure that you can put them on the right track and stay out of their way enough to allow them to have the creativity that they love to have, the imagination that they love to have, and be children, but instill the important things, discipline, nutrition, the importance of reading, the importance of math, not to go to school and get good grades, not just for that, but so that you're able to be a productive person in the world, whether you're an entrepreneur or you have a wonderful job that you always wanted, whatever that might be for you. Preparation is key. The phrase I hear a lot of times, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. I love that phrase. But in closing, I think about this often. One of my great mentors, super, super, superman, Dr. Lewis, something that his mentor told him that sticks with me a lot, that stuck with him, and I heard it and it sticks with me. And he says that you never know what you might say or do today that will affect millions of people tomorrow. And that quote to me is a deep quote and why I continue to push through and do what I'd love to do. Because I might not reach anybody today, but somebody might view this video tomorrow, somebody might hear this call tomorrow or next week or 5 years from now, and it might change their life. And that's why I love these platforms of Facebook Live and radio show where we have the radio podcast at the end, because people can then sew back in and listen and share and make a lifestyle change, make a wealth change, whatever it might be. And to know that you have something to do with that, some way, shape, or form, whether you get to thank you or not, is just that important. That important to me. There's no better payment than being able to bring value to somebody else's life. I appreciate all of you. I don't see that I have any questions on either side. So before I go, I'd like to dedicate, of course, this call and calls that I have every week to my good friend John Bryan, who started this mission with me 4.5 years ago when we started just doing a conference call on a phone line. And now we're on Facebook Live and a radio show. But, you know, it's growth, and he's pushed me, and we pushed each other and we challenged each other. We've been accountable to each other. And it's very rarely that somebody passing away at 78 years old and you say they died too young. Things around his passion is what kills me. I mean, around his death is what kills me, because I know that he didn't kill himself. But, you know, it is what it is. But what that did was it fueled my passion, because he has a wonderful team out there that I have to take over and continue to support, which I love doing, and all that he left behind. So I love him for that, and I will always make sure that I mention him going forward, and my mom and the people that have really sowed into my life so, so much. So I'm looking forward to being here next week. New topic, new thing. And if you have a topic, if you have something you want discussed, if I didn't clear up something for you, inbox me, text me. 919-599-0916. I'm not hard to find. You text me, you inbox me, you call me, we talk about it. I'm here to help. And I'll learn something from you too. I guarantee I will. So I appreciate you guys, and I look forward to seeing you next week, Tuesday, 7 p.m. Good night. Love you.